listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Atlanta is moving on to the second round of the playoffs. The Hawks take the series in five games, closing it out here at the Garden.
This was a great year. I think it changed the outlook on the Knicks organization.
We're bringing a brand of basketball back that the city can be proud of.
They were the four seed. They got into the actual playoffs.
This is their first year in. Give them time to try to develop.
The Knicks fans are special. There's no other place like this. We're looking forward to next season. There's a lot of work to be done, but I think it's exciting for us.
This is DCR on 98.7.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear to be the Goodyear Hotline. There's a take going around that I don't love, and that is, well, you know, all really good teams need to struggle in the postseason before they get over the hump. Here's the thing. How many of these guys do you think you're going to see on the Knicks in the coming years? This is not the infancy stages of the Chicago Bulls back in the 80s where you knew how bright the future was. This was a great year. They were in over their heads. They were humiliated in the postseason. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw five, six, seven new guys on this team next season.
Yeah, Dave, of the guys that played last night, I'm only seeing four as a part of the long-term future of the Knicks. And if you want to throw Derrick Rose in there, if the Knicks decide they're going to re-sign him, I'm okay with that too. But, I mean, there's going to be a lot of new faces on this team moving forward. I mean, and there needs to be. In order for the Knicks to get to where they want to go, they're going to have to upgrade the talent level. But that being said, I do think there's a lot of value in getting to the postseason for guys like Julius Randle, like R.J. Barrett, I mean, Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin. Like, those are guys that are going to be a part of the mix as you continue to try to develop this team, this roster. So I will say this. I think that what Tibbs has done this year is lay the groundwork for what the Knicks are going to become. And a big part of that is getting those guys experience, because those guys are going to play key roles for you moving forward.
I mean, this is the first step. I mean, that's what I think we're missing here. Some people that call in and are disappointed and everything else. This was the first step. This was more than you could have ever imagined for this New York Knicks team in the season.
If they won 34 games and missed the playoffs, you'd say, you know what, they had a pretty good year. But they were so good that they put themselves in really a position they couldn't handle so early, and they're not as talented as what they went up against in Atlanta. They were almost too good for their own good this year.
They set the bar too high for themselves. You're exactly right. And then on top of that, I mean, with what the media was saying and everything else, and this is why I was getting so frustrated. I mean, they set this team up for us to for fans to feel the way they feel right now. Because it was, I would be disappointed. They should win this series. I mean, we're guilty of it too. I mean, I had the Knicks win it in seven. I bought in. Maybe that was emotions that was involved.
But how could you not with what they did? They won 41 games. They were dynamic. Julius Randle was phenomenal, and everything they touched turned to gold. And this series was just the opposite of that.
But here's the thing. I don't understand why, as a fan, you can't be disappointed while still acknowledging that the Knicks had a really, really good season and that the team is ahead of schedule. Like, I think both things can be true. And I think both things are true. So, I mean, I just look at this and say, yeah, it's disappointing that you got gentlemen swept by the Hawks and that Clint Capella after game four was chirping and it was nothing your team could do in the following game in Madison Square Garden to prove that he was wrong. Like, you couldn't show him any different. So, I mean, I guess from that standpoint, like, yeah, it doesn't feel good in the moment as a fan, but you can't be a prisoner of the moment. Like, you have to look at the season in its totality. And it's an overwhelming success. There's no other way to describe what Tibbs has done this year.
That does bother me, though. I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. Like, losing that game bothers me.
It should bother you.
A lot.
You can feel both. Chris is right. You can feel thrilled with what the season was and disappointed with how the season ended. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, and I think that's how you should feel. And I think, I mean, as far as you know, what you accomplished this season in building, setting the foundation, setting the groundwork for this team moving forward, like actually having an identity that you feel good about. I mean, now
not listen, being the laughing stock of the league.
Yeah, I mean, you may be underselling it. I mean, this was no one thought that in 1 year that conversation surrounding the Knicks could change the way it has,
and it has. Like now, if there's a Lillard or a Leonard or a Chris Paul or somebody that's available on the open market, you don't think that the Knicks is a crazy destination for somebody like that?
No, because they've already. I mean, they're the proof of concept. Like they showed you this season that they turned themselves into a good team. Now, is it good enough to make a run in the postseason? No, obviously not. It isn't. There were deficiencies that got exposed in the series that need to be addressed. And now it's on Leon Rose and Worldwide West to go out and add talent to this team. Because clearly they're missing
a lot.
A lot.
They are. They need a lot of pieces. Let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. We're here for you. Very therapeutic. We'll be honest when that's needed. We'll yell at you when that's needed. And we'll commend you when that is earned as well. Daryl in the car. Good morning, Daryl. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Daryl, you're up.
First of all, I want to definitely thank the Knicks for a great season. They exceeded expectations, and we got to praise them for that. They brought passion back in New York basketball, which I didn't have for a couple of years. Man, I didn't even want to watch games for a couple of years. With that being said, let me get to last night's game. Randall looked like. I guess postseason Randall. He's been giving us pretty much nothing. And, I'm watching the game. I found myself yelling at the TV. I'm yelling. I don't even want him touching the ball at a certain point. And I called last week or so. We touched on Derrick Rose. Phenomenal. Love what he was doing. But we all called the burnout. I felt the burnout coming, and of course it came. Rebounds, guys. Did you see how we got killed on the rebound last night? Oh, my God. They were getting second, third shots. Rebounds had to fall in our hand, and we didn't even get that. It was just kind of like really horrible last night. Found myself wanting Burks to shoot the ball, like Burks. This is the lineup that they gave us. This is what we have. Guys gave us nothing. Barrett wasn't there. It was just a horrible season. I mean, horrible end of the season, end of the game. We needed to win that game. The Hawks are just a better team, and, they got more talent. And, Rick, you killed Knobs. You done what you came to do.
Oh, man.
My man.
Wow. Well done, Daryl.
That's a good call.
I mean, I think he's right. It's disappointing. You can be disappointed. You should be disappointed. I mean, we left the show yesterday. Are they going to win? Yeah, they're going to win. And, Rick, you discussed it. They're going to have resiliency. They were just called out on the carpet. Clint Capella said all these things, and Trey Young and Public Enemy number one and number two, and they're going to come out there and they're going to put them through the floor. And you know what? They couldn't, they didn't, and they were completely outclassed in this series. And you saw it for almost the entire series. You saw it in a lot of game one. You saw it in the first half of game two. You saw it completely down in Atlanta in 3 and 4, and you saw it yesterday in game five as well.
Yeah, going back to that game one, I mean, that really...
That
bogged down... That three, where
if R.J. Barrett could have came up with that steal, it might have changed the complexion of the series. It really might have.
It might have, but you still can't argue the fact, Chris, that Atlanta's so much better than the Knicks are.
No, I think that's without question, Dave. I mean, the Knicks in the games down in Atlanta weren't even competitive. They weren't really competitive in the second half last night. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, the Hawks are just a better squad. But I just felt like with everything that happened after game four with Capella chirping, like last night was one of those games that as a Knicks fan, you just want the Knicks to be able to shut them up one night. Like to be able to say, nah, that's not going down like that. Nobody's going to sit here and call their shot and be able to come into MSG and bully us. Like that, you wish that they could have stood up and found a way to get it done last night, even if that means they get dispatched in game six down in Atlanta. I mean, you live with that, but the fact that you got to go into the offseason with that bad taste in your mouth, with Capella hanging on the rim, and the Hawks advancing to the second round after beating you in your building, like that's the part that Knicks fans are going to struggle with as we get closer to the summertime.
Well, that's what bothers you, right? I mean, that was one of the things as a Knicks fan this season that you prided yourself on was their toughness, how hard they played. And then, you know, going into this game, you got called out saying, we think you're fake tough. And how are you going to respond to that?
And you didn't.
I can't even sit here and say that they didn't. It's just, they're just not good enough. They're not good enough. They took advantage of teams during this regular season because they worked harder than other teams. And now when you get to this point where, you know, teams are working just
and
as hard as you are.
And nobody takes a night off and the game
talent wins
for
out.
You.
Talent ends up winning out. We always say that with basketball, don't we? It's really the one sport where usually you get the best two teams in the finals. That doesn't happen in every sport.
No. It doesn't happen in almost any sport, actually.
Like, you've seen ace seeds in hockey make runs or underdogs win. You know what I mean? Like, that happens. You get a hot goalie.
16s beat ones in college basketball. Like, these kind of things happen.
Yeah, can't these team run to a Super Bowl? Like, that stuff happens. But, the whole goal going into a postseason series in a seven-game series is to identify what the team you're up against doesn't do well and then exploit it. And that's what the Hawks did.
In spades in this series.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I was trying to avoid this, but we're going to have to bring him on, and he's going to be depressing, I think. And here he is, Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike.
Well, first of all, I could never be depressed talking to you guys, number one. And number two, I accepted the fate. You know, it's the stages of, you know, children. You crawl, you walk fast, and then you run. And then you run fast. And after game one, it was very indicative. They tried. They were out-talented. I agree with Chris. Take their four keepers. If you can get Gibson and Rose back at the veterans minimum, they're good to have because they're focused people. And yeah, I was disappointed, but I watched Donovan Mitchell. I watched Trae Young. I watched Chris Paul. This is a point guard penetrating league. I was just getting there. That was my last statement.
Hey, I hope this doesn't
sound negative towards Trae Young because I think he's a brilliant offensive player. I haven't seen a guy get into the paint that much in a long, long time. Here's what I see with this thing. As great as Trae Young, and again, no knock to him, will be, and he may be a Hall of Fame player down the road. Doncic, it's just a bad, you know, situation for Trae Young being compared. Watching Doncic is watching perfection. It's amazing at 22 years old what he can do and how he controls the game at that size. It baffles me, and that's going to be a good one. And I thank you guys. No, I'm not down. I mean, I'm disappointed. If you're not, you're not a Knicks fan. But they don't have enough talent. And Randle came up empty again. I wanted to throw the ball up, take good shots. He tried. He's just not that good, but he's not bad. So we keep him up. If you take Randle and R.J. Barrett and I can get Donovan Mitchell, I don't hesitate a second.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah,
a second.
You ain't getting.
Thanks for the call, Spike.
You're not going to get Donovan. I don't think you can.
What's
Donovan
he doing?
Mitchell.
He's trading Barrett and Randle for Donovan Mitchell.
Why would Utah do that deal?
They're not going to. Why would they? No. He's the face of the
well,
franchise.
If Donovan Mitchell doesn't want to be there, but I don't know that the Knicks is going to be the team on Donovan Mitchell's wish list. I just don't. I don't even know if he's going to force his way out. But
yeah, I can't see that happening. But
I mean, they're going to go on some kind of a run here.
Yes, hopefully they get to the NBA Finals. I mean, Knicks fans, root for Utah. Come on, we need to see Dave naked. Let's do it. Band together.
You don't. Nobody wants to see.
I'm going
to
go buy a Joe Ingles jersey.
They wouldn't even know who you were talking about.
I'll get one custom. I'm going to go into a store and get a Joe Ingles jersey.
A custom Joe Ingles jersey. Let's go to Anthony in Holbrook. Good morning, Anthony.
What's going on, boys? How we doing?
We're not doing great. It's a tough morning, but we have banded together to do it as a show unit, Anthony.
Of course. My thing is, like you guys said, it's more than just being out-talented, out-worked, all that stuff. They got embarrassed last night in their home arena and did nothing about it. Their closeouts were weak. They were jogging back on defense. They were deflated. They looked like, you know, the little upset, you know, people at LA Fitness when they lose and they just would give up. It was embarrassing. And to have Trae Young just be dancing all over the court, shooting threes, waving to the crowd, you know, bowing over, and no one does anything about it. I'm not saying you got to punch the guy in the face, but have some heart. have play some physical defense. Like, it's just, it's sad to see, and that's not the Knicks that I watched growing up, and I was kind of hoping that someone, you know, did something and, you know, took it into their own hands and actually stood up for themselves. It's just sad to see that that's how the season ended.
Anthony,
they weren't going to win a championship.
Anthony, time out for a quick second. The Knicks you grew up watching were a much better team than this New York Knicks team right now.
And you could also hammer a guy and nothing would be called.
The rules were completely different.
They tried last night.
Wanted to give Julius Randle a flagrant for getting a rebound and trying to clear it. Like, that's it's a different NBA.
That flagrant on Taj Gibson was a joke, too, by the way. Joke.
I thought they tried to be physical and aggressive and get in the face of Atlanta, but it wasn't going to work. There was nothing they could do.
No, there's nothing they could do, Dave. And I think as the game went on, I thought you saw a Knicks team that was resigned to the fact that they were going to lose that series. Like, I thought that they realized no matter how hard they try, no matter how hard they compete, they just don't have enough against a team like Atlanta. They just don't. And there was a little bit of quit in that group in the second half. There really was. I hate to say that about a team that's fought hard all year long, but you saw it. I think they realized the inevitable was going to happen, whether it was in Game 5 or whether it was going back down to Atlanta in Game 6. They were going to be put out of the playoffs. And I just think that they gave up the ghost in that fourth quarter.
But you guys were professional athletes. You know what it's like when you're given your best shot and you look up at the scoreboard and you're down 5? You're like, we're doing everything we possibly can and we still can't get over the hump. It's deflating.
Well, they had no answers, Dave. I mean, Rick talks about it all the time. Like, as a professional athlete, all you want is the answers to the test. And throughout the course of this series, it became obvious that there were no answers for what the Hawks were bringing to the table. There were no answers to be able to close the gap in terms of talent. And so, yeah, the better team is going to win out. When effort is equal, when competitive level is equal, the Knicks are going to find themselves on the losing end when they're matched up against a team like the Hawks. That's just what it is.
Every single time. Every single time. Not Andy in Merrick, but Randy in Merrick. Good morning, Randy.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
So, we're doing wonderfully, Randy. Couldn't be better. Best show of the year. Go ahead.
The issue that I have is, you guys talked about it earlier, being a team that you can get behind, and like the Bulls, in the early years and what they had to go for. The issue is you don't know what you got in this team, right? Because you don't know who's going to be back. So it was a successful season. It was great. It was fun to watch. But at the end of the day, to get behind and say they got a bright future, you don't know what it is. That's the problem. So I'd love your comments on that and thoughts.
I think you're right, but I will sit here and tell you that the coach is going to be here and you love him, and you know that Leon Rose is going to be here and you like him, and I have to imagine that Julius Randle is going to be here and you like him. And if he's not here, it's because they've upgraded this team tremendously. So, yeah, I think it's a fair point, but I do like a lot of what they're going to produce over the next couple of years.
Yeah, but if you get what you want, like what is every Knicks fan looking for to get to that next level? Is probably not just one superstar, maybe two superstars, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that's the case, what's your team going to look like anyway? Like, do the Brooklyn Nets look the same now that they have Kyrie, KD, and James Harden?
No, they gutted their entire roster to be able to make room for those guys.
Do the Lakers look the same?
No. Nope.
And you could change very quickly.
So, but that was one of the things that you were trying to achieve this season, was make the Knicks now a desirable place for one of these guys that doesn't like his situation. And I think they've gone a long way in doing that. They have. And now it's on Leon Rose and Worldwide West to upgrade this roster. They have. There's a talent deficiency with this Knicks team and a team that's a legitimate playoff team right now.
Yeah, but I think what they've done is they've made the Knicks fan get a taste of it and now have expectations heading into next year. Like, you need to change the level of talent on this team this offseason.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, that's what I just said. That's what you have to do. I mean, you like some of the pieces that you have. I love the fact that we actually have an identity. You got a coach you can trust. And now, if you took, like seriously, like if you take this identity with that kind of work ethic, and now all of a sudden infuse some legitimate talent into it, I mean, that's really what you're hoping to do now.
That's what you're hoping to do.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Will you be attending the game?
No, I'm not going to go to the game.
No?
Nope.
You have nothing standing in your way, though. No Knicks, no Nets, no Yankees.
No. No. I mean,
this is your team.
This is my team, but I haven't been to a game yet. I don't want to jinx it.
So you believe, I mean, you're really one of these that you think if you go to the game, now they lose and now you've jinxed the Islanders season?
During the NFL season, there are times that I won't move. Like, if things are going well for the Jet, I won't move. Like, I'll stay in the same spot.
So I guess you were all over the place then this season, huh?
Yeah, I was just free reign. I could do whatever I want.
Didn't have to stamp pad at all.
Or in case, like, or I wouldn't move, like, just gum. Hoping they... By the time they got to a point where we were rooting for a, you know, 0-16.
Right.
Like, when they were losing, I wouldn't move. Like, okay, let's keep this thing going, boys. Don't screw it up.
The good old game.
And Greg Williams saved us, and we had to go ruin it.
Now, you don't want to go to the Islanders game tonight, right? You don't want to go?
No, I'm going to give... I'd like to give my tickets away is what I'd like to do.
But my point is that I'm sure there are people that would love to go to the Islanders game tonight.
Dave, have you seen... Okay, the colleagues packed, right? I mean, it's full capacity. Have you seen what Borelli's looks like? Like, how packed Borelli's is to watch the Islanders game?
Yeah,
how rowdy that
excited.
Place is?
I get it. I get it.
We love our team.
If the Islanders win the whole thing, you'll be relentless. I'll have to take a week off.
No, stop it. If you didn't take today off, you ain't taking no week off.
I promise you, if the Islanders win the cup, I will, there's zero chance I will be on the show the next day.
By the way, we never talked about this. So remember when they decided to clean house with your Rangers?
Yeah.
And we were all surprised. And I told you, I got that text, like, don't be surprised if the GM gets fired. And then mm-hmm. It turned into GM and JD. The fact that JD has a job instantly
with
Columbus.
Immediately. They couldn't have been more excited in Columbus to bring him back.
So does that not now give some merit to the whole, like, Dolan told JD to fire Gordon. He said, no, I'm not firing him. So he said, okay, then you're both gone. Like, you don't feel comfortable saying that to an owner unless you know you're going to get another job.
Probably so. But he's as respected as any hockey guy in the industry. He put St. Louis together. He put Columbus on the map. You don't think they're thrilled to have him back there now?
No, I know. But that would have to be in the back of my mind
that
before
he knows
I make a decision
that I have another
like
job
that.
Just waiting for me if things go south here. I'm sure it did. All right. Islanders fans, listen up. The Isles are returning home against the Boston Bruins at 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll score two tickets to tonight's Game 3 and an Islanders prize pack, including an autographed puck, all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. That, my friends, is a giveaway. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. All right, I want to get back to the Knicks calls. We will in a moment. 800-919-3776. I can't believe that we can discuss the end of Mike Krzyzewski's era at Duke. I honestly never thought he would leave there.
But at some point he was going to, though.
I always felt like he would go on forever.
Yeah, because he's iconic. I mean, I can't imagine, you're right, I can't imagine Duke without Coach K as their coach.
I mean, what year were you born?
81.
Okay, so he has been there your entire lifetime. He has been the head coach of Duke. It's all you know. And it's not like you're young. You're 39 years old.
Whoa,
you're gonna be 40.
Easy.
What do you mean?
I'm in the prime of my life.
I didn't say you weren't in the prime, but it's not like you're 12. You're 39, and he's been the only coach ever at Duke.
Yeah, I don't love when you say that. He's 74 years old, though, Dave. At a certain point, I mean, you've won 5 national championships. I mean, you see the success he's had with USA Basketball. I mean, at a certain point, like... You had to imagine that he was gonna walk away. The other thing too is, I mean, I'm sure he wanted to get to a point where he felt comfortable knowing that there was someone behind him that he could leave the team to.
Well, yeah. Well, he trusts John Shire. I guess he was huge in the recruiting of Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett and all those guys. The amazing thing to me is nowadays Coach K doesn't even get to become Coach K. And what I mean by that, do you know what he was in his first 3 years at Duke when you were just having your infancy stages of life? 80-81, 17-13.
Yep.
81-82, 10-17, 82-83, 11-17. How many coaches at prestigious programs have 3 years like that and are asked back to continue along?
Nowadays?
None.
With the amount of money involved?
None.
Here's the other thing, though, too. At his age, I mean, I was listening to some of the stuff yesterday, like, as far as, you know, recruiting Zion Williamson and landing him at Duke, like how early on in that process you have to start recruiting him. And you're talking about now, I mean, with the G League and everything else, you got transfer portals, how competitive this thing is now. At 70, I mean, I'm sure he still loves to coach. I can't imagine that at his age, all that other stuff that goes into it is easy anymore.
I'm sure it's not easy. I mean, 74 is not a young man. And I know for years when I was down there that the opposition, you know, Carolina and NC State would say, you want to go to Duke? You're going to go there for 4 years? You think you're going to see the end of Coach K at the end of that run? And amazingly enough, everyone has up until this point. You know, Coach K and I played tennis one time together in a charity doubles match.
Did Rick Pitino pop up?
He was lurking over there on the side, yes. It was very strange. Coach K, very nice to me, by the way. Was a big fan of my second serve.
How'd you play?
I played, you know, once I gave up tennis, I was never the same. But playing with a 60-year-old man, I was okay, I mean, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, if you think about iconic coaches and programs, he's right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you say Duke, the first thing that comes to mind is Coach K.
Right, more than any player that's been there. And they've had some of the greats of all time, right? Hurley and Christian Laettner and Grant Hill and all these guys, Jay Williams, all these guys. But the first thing you think about is not a player. It's the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's the face of that program. And he's one of the best to ever do it. I mean, look at what he's done, man. I mean, you mentioned the first couple of years and you know, a lack of success. And he's coached, I get it, for a long time. But to have, I mean, he's got almost 1,200 wins. He's got 361 losses. That's it.
I know. He really is phenomenal. And it's a great scene down there. You've never been to a game at Cameron, have you?
No, I have not.
Oh.
I heard it's amazing.
Oh. I mean, it's got to be great during the COVID era when you have people like slobbering all over the back of your neck. But it is like nothing you could ever imagine. But really, when you think about one coach at one either NFL team, NBA, what are your professional program, or one collegiate program, who do you think of more than him?
Well, I think he's on par with, I think, you know, Alabama.
Okay. So Alabama, you're going to go Bear Bryant. That's fine.
Well, for me, I go Saban just for me.
Yeah, but here's the thing. But you go Saban, yes, but you remember Saban at Michigan State. Saban won a national championship with LSU.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying for me, like you said, I know Bear Bryant. But for you, when you say Alabama to me, I think first thing that pops to my mind is Saban.
Okay.
Patriots and Belichick. I think that's a no-brainer, Patriots and Belichick.
Wooden and UCLA?
Of course. Wooden and UCLA. I think Bobby Knight, Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm actually watching the show on Disney Plus with John Stamos.
Oh, God.
Almost like a Bobby Knight ripoff. He gets kicked out of...
I don't see John Stamos as like a Bobby Knight clone, though.
Well, no, he's not supposed to be a Bobby Knight clone, but he gets kicked out of... Like, he's a legend at Wisconsin, and they got a statue for him and everything, and then he loses his job because he throws a chair onto the court. And now he's coaching a girls' high school team.
How's he doing?
Fantastic. Taking it from
really?
D3 to D2. Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of demons, though. He's dealing with a lot of demons
really?
Right now.
See, I think that's miscast, that show, to be honest with you. I don't see John Stamos as a demon guy.
Yeah, I disagree. What Disney does is okay in my book.
Well, look at you. He's such a company guy. I know I know what happened. I would be willing to bet money that RJ got in your ear and said, Disney, be careful. And you were like, oh, anything Disney?
No, I know it's Disney. I'm locked in with Disney Plus. Finish the Mighty Ducks.
So you can figure out how to use the Disney Plus?
No. That don't bother.
Does Cats do that for you also?
Milo. No, Milo does it for me.
So your six-year-old sets that up for you?
Well, Dave, he had to do
see me the other day asking Ben. I'm like, how do I take a screenshot on this phone? Do me a favor. Press the two buttons you have to press at the same time and get this done for me. And they're like, Dad, give me the phone.
See, I can do that. Like, actually, you remember the story? I didn't know what BCC meant. I had no idea. Like, oh, just
up
BCC.
Up until like a few months ago, you didn't know what BCC meant.
No, I was just, I was copy and pasting. Just email by email.
Oh, my God. The amount of wasted time with you is sensational. All right. Let's get back to these Knicks calls. 800-919-3776. I got to be honest, by the way. I've been exceptional today. I'd be shocked if I don't get the number one star when Santiago gives them out in a little
while. You know who deserves the number one star? I'm telling you right now, because you got to start watching it.
Yeah.
That mayor of Easttown.
I told you it's supposed to be good, right?
I am like Tyrone Biggums right now. Like, I can't get enough of it.
That's a Nicole Kidman vehicle?
No.
Who's in it?
That's a, what's her name now?
Please let it be Nicole Kidman.
No, it's not Nicole Kidman. No, it's not Nicole Kidman.
Ugh. Well, who is
it? That's a Kate Winslet situation.
Kate Winslet, yes. Similar looking actresses, no?
No.
Not even a little?
Nah, Nicole Kidman did a lot of stuff with her. Like, her and... They must have, like, a couples thing they do. Like, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman have done way too much work. Way too much work. They can't even show emotion anymore. Like, their face just...
Their faces are frozen.
Yeah, they're frozen.
All right, let's go. Here we go. 800-919-3776. Jose in Raleigh. Good morning, Jose.
Hey, good morning, guys. Real quick about Coach K, I live in Raleigh and I work in a bar. Everybody was shocked when he announced his retirement. Like somebody passed away almost. It was like everybody got quiet.
You almost felt like it was bigger than life down there, right, Jose? Like he was never going to leave.
Yeah, it was weird. And I'm from New York. I'm from Harlem. So it was like, what? Like, I don't know. I'm 22 years old. I'm not big into college basketball until I moved here. So it was just like a little weird. But anyways, I think the Knicks' future is bright, man. Like, Mitchell Robinson wasn't playing. I went to that game in Atlanta, and they were really killing us on the boards, man. And Emmanuel Quickley and that little three plays that he did there towards the end, like, I'm really excited about what the Knicks' future is going to be like.
Yeah, he gave us some life. I mean, there's a lot of positives to focus on today. But I get it. People are disappointed, especially with everything going into last night's game. The Clint Capella stuff, like all that played into how you're feeling today.
Yeah.
Because in the moment.
They called you out and you didn't respond.
Exactly. And that's what you prided yourself on all season was your toughness, how hard you played, your defense. And you couldn't. I understand the frustration too as a fan. I'm frustrated. I can only imagine being on that team. Like, as hard as you tried, you had no answers on how to slow down Trae Young. You just couldn't. They couldn't figure it out. Like, I mean, they couldn't.
No.
I mean, he dropped 36 last night.
And we all thought they would. We all thought, and we discussed this before the series, Rick, that Thibodeau was such a genius and he would, you know, devise some kind of game plan to slow down Trae Young. And the truth is, he couldn't do it.
And that was the difference, though, wasn't it? I mean, that's a level Trae Young. And again, I'm impressed because this is his first time playing in the postseason. And they tried. But he's at a level with his game and what he's able to do, the spots he's able to get to, that as much as you tried, he finds a way to rise above that. And be as productive as he was. He didn't even shoot good from three. I mean, he was 3 of 11 last night from three, and he still dropped 36 on you.
Yeah, and one of those was you know, in
daggers too. Those,
oh,
I mean, those were daggers.
Awful. That one, like 40 seconds left, was just nasty. Reggie in Tampa. Good morning, Reg.
Oh no, good morning, guys. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and I'm gonna tell you straight up, Tom Thibodeau got our coach. He didn't make any adjustments. You didn't play Frank Ntilikina any time in this series. You see the starting lineup was struggling. Give the other guys an opportunity. He's just a regular season coach. He's not a postseason coach.
Come on, Reggie.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Reggie, neither was Nate McMillan, Reggie. I mean, Nate McMillan's never been out of the first round of the postseason either.
Is the talent close between these two teams?
No,
really.
But,
if you were drafting the most talented players in this series, Rick, number one is Trae Young. Number two is probably Atlanta. Number three might be Atlanta, and then you get to Julius Randle on the Knicks. And then you might go 4, 5, and 6 Atlanta again.
No, I don't think even Julius. I mean, before the series started and what you saw, like take what you saw out of it.
All right, so you want to go heading into the series.
Heading into the series.
All right, let's say that in some order it's Young and Julius Randle, okay?
Yes.
And then where are you going?
Oh, the way, I mean.
Bogdanovich?
I mean, Bogdan, lazy name, but good player. He'll be up there.
Gallinari?
Capella's got to be up there. And I told you Hunter was coming too, man. I mean, that guy, he's a good player, man. Defends well, can shoot.
And he's going to get better. And they've had a very quick transformation, that Hawks team. But the talent is just not similar. And I hate calls like that. See, Tom Thibodeau is just not a postseason coach. What do you think that Pat Riley would have more success with this team? You think Jeff Van Gundy would have more success with this team? He was phenomenal this year.
Yeah, but he did what you asked him to do. He put Rose in the starting lineup. But to the college point, that wasn't, and I kept saying this at the time, putting Frank in the starting lineup wasn't solving the problem that they were having, which was they couldn't score early in games because Julius Randle couldn't get it going. Like, that was the problem. That's why Derrick Rose is in the starting lineup, because you need another option to score. Like, who's scoring? If Derrick Rose continues to come off the bench and you start Frank Ntilikina, look at that starting five.
They couldn't score to begin with. Now you're going to take away a point guard that's better offensively than Frank Ntilikina?
And listen, is Frank Ntilikina a good defender? Yeah, he's a good defender. After watching Trae Young in the series, do you think he was going to slow Trae Young down that much?
He came in sparingly, but when he came in, did he slow down Trae Young at all?
No, I mean, he was on the court when Trae Young hit that game winner in game one.
Yep, let's go to Chris in Manorville. Good morning, Chris. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to say the exact opposite of Reggie. I believe the only untouchable on this team is Thibodeau. He took a team that was projected for 22 wins and brought them to where they are and made us another place for big-time players to eventually want to come and give us another chance in the future, I think.
Hey, here's the thing. I mean, I'm having a hard time with today because there's a piece of me that is disappointed with what happened last night. We all should be a little bit disappointed with how that whole thing turned out. But moving forward, I mean, you have to feel good about where this team is headed.
Think about where they've been. Think about the.
I don't want to think about where they've been.
I mean, 17 wins. You know, taking Neal Aquina, not taking Donovan Mitchell. You drafted well. I mean, Toppin got better as the season went on, and actually was one of the few bright spots in the series offensively. All right? Quickly was a guy that you look at as a piece of the future. You've transformed Julius Randle. You have a head coach that you love. They didn't even make it to the bubble last year, Rick. Think of how far they've come in one season.
Yeah, I don't think anyone... No, I don't think. No, there's no one. There's not one person. I don't care if you're the biggest Knicks fan, the most optimistic Knicks fan on the planet. There's no one that thought that this team would be what it is.
No way. What it was. 41 wins, the four seed, home court. Nobody thought this was possible. Dino in the Bronx. Dino, you're next up on 98.7.
Hear me out, guys. Luka Doncic to the Knicks. Keep you young. He plays good. And hey, I don't think he wants to be in Dallas. What don't you guys think?
Doncic, he plays good. No, he plays better than good.
He's good. He's accurate. He's a good player. Nice player.
He's an amazing player.
He is amazing. You think he's going to want to leave Mark Cuban in Dallas, though? Especially if they go on a run here in the postseason?
If they go on a run, I mean, if they end up beating the Clippers, Mark Cuban will do whatever it takes. He's a good owner. I mean, he'll do whatever it takes
the
to
best.
Keep. I mean, Doncic, I mean, that's he's the face of their team. I mean, without them, I mean, without Doncic, they're...
Doncic, that's a lottery team.
Yeah, they're no good.
No, they're lousy. He is phenomenal. Miles and Clifton. Go ahead, Miles. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. I know a caller mentioned this a couple of minutes ago, but in his defense, I feel like the Knicks played a lot of their starters heavily in the third quarter there, and Tibbs could have maybe put in some of the bench guys, the second unit, to give us that spark. And you saw that's what really happened once they quickly came in and those guys came in. There was a little bit of a surge and a kind of like a shift in the Garden momentum, right?
Yeah, but you don't think that surge was because of where the game was at that point? Like, you don't think that naturally, you know, Atlanta just at that point kind of takes the foot off the gas a little bit?
I don't know what people are making it sound like one little... Just if you would have played Neal Aquina for 12 minutes instead of nothing or given R.J. Barrett less time or you know, done this or done that. This is not a move or a nuanced little maneuver away from things working out well for the Knicks. They were completely outclassed. They were completely outmanned. And I said at the beginning of the show, they could play that series 10 times and the Knicks would never win it. And we were fooled. I mean, it shows you what a great job Tom Thibodeau did this season, that he could fool us and they could fool us the entire year, believing heading into this series. Vegas thought the same thing. It was almost a pick 'em series. You just watched it. There's no way that should have been a pick 'em series.
I would have loved to have seen how this thing turned out if the Knicks actually pulled out game one. Because I think for an Atlanta team that didn't have much experience outside of Capella, like confidence-wise, what that would do to them. Because at that point, I mean, how much does that free you up? You win game one on the road. You know what I mean? Like,
it changes everything.
It changes everything.
I don't know. I mean, in watching that series, I think even if the Knicks would have won game one, I still think it wouldn't have turned out well. They can't compete at that level right now. They're not there. They're not talented enough.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they end up winning the series. I just think it puts more. I mean, it obviously puts more pressure on Atlanta. Like, I mean, Atlanta,
yes. Now Atlanta's in a must-win game two, and there is pressure on them. And they have to win a game at the Garden. Who knows? Let's go to Nick and Elizabeth. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. Just want to say, look, I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm in the New York area, so I'm inundated with Knicks stuff. So I got an affinity for the Knicks. Knicks fans have to be practical. They had a great season in relation to where we expected them to be at this point. Nobody seriously expected them to win the series, right?
To win this series? No, I don't agree with that.
No, I don't agree with that. I think before the series started, I expected them to...
We both picked the Knicks to win the series. So
I had the Knicks in seven, yeah.
Listen, I got you, but let's go back to, you know, training camp, looking at the
roster. Well, that's different, though,
Nick. And the growth that needed to take place. But that's the perspective we got to keep things. Because the problem is this. With Knicks fans, what we do now is, or what Knicks fans do now is, they go out, blow up the team because they think they're missing a piece, whereas this is the foundation. Let's build off of this. Let's not, you know, blow everything up. Let's not think that it's all, you know, it's all going to hell now. Let's just take our time and build. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and let's slowly build a championship contender because this team did a lot with a little, let's be honest. Now, you're loving the Knicks conversation, as I imagine you should be on a day like today, and it will continue at 8 o'clock with KJZ right here on 98.7 ESPN, so you go absolutely nowhere. All right, Santi, I'm looking forward to my number one star of the day. Let's go, three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Got to say, a lot of assumptions are being made over here today. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Well, you know when you know, you know.
Anyway, star number three, Rick, I'm going to look back to an observations in DHIF today, but, I mean, Storm Dream Lady, I don't know what else to call her, but just bringing back that particular story, and it's almost unbelievable in how it goes, because it was basically verbatim what the story you said months ago, and it... When you said Texas, it just, I really thought that this was an epidemic, and now I was surprised to see it was the same lady. What I'm trying to say is,
and so eloquently, by
eloquently,
the way.
eloquently,
beautifully.
What I'm trying to stammer here is that is very surprising, and I think it deserves a star.
Number two,
and despite what was it, Reggie just now?
Yeah,
Reggie trying to say that Tom Thibodeau's not a coach who's adjusting because he refused to play Frank Ntilikina, the great guy who's most known for.
He speaks French because he's from France.
I mean, there's a reason that Frank Ntilikina wasn't playing too much, and I don't want to disparage the guy too much, but listen, he's not going to be back next year. Hopefully he finds a niche on another team, but it just wasn't working here, and I can't blame him for that. But Tom Thibodeau deserves a star just for the job he's done for this past year coaching the Knicks, and honestly, I think this past series solidifies the fact that he's coach of the year.
Number one.
All right, Dave, I'll give it to you. I'm going to give you the number one star for your ability to coach today. But I'm going to say this. You throw a monkey wrench into things when you say things like Kate Winslet and Nicole Kidman look a lot alike. I don't see it. I don't know what you're getting at there.
There's a tremendous similarity.
No, there is not. Stop it.
A tremendous similarity.
No. Listen, look at what she looks like right now.
But I did get the number one star of the day, yes?
Even in the past, I don't think they looked alike. Listen, you said that she's had a lot of work done, but even in the past, I don't see the connection. I don't see the similarity between the two, like, at all.
All right. Well, that's my mistake, but I'll still run away with my number one star of the day. We'll do it again tomorrow, the big Friday. KJZ up next with a lot of Knicks conversation. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.